Morning. How's everybody doing today? Well, I don't know how today's going to go. I never know how any day. Especially these. But I had this plan. Yeah. Anybody else make plans? Before we went to Atlanta, I had this great plan for this passage of scripture we're going to look at today. These verses here. And got to Atlanta. And, well, let's talk about Atlanta was really good. Lots of good lessons, lots of good messages, lots of thank you for the opportunity, by the way, on behalf of Pastor Joe, Roger, and I, to allow us to get out and get fed, to get refueled, to get new ideas, just worship, you know, relax, all of those things. Lots of good stuff, and I hope that we're all better for it. But, the one thing I did most in Atlanta was probably listen, which I hope you do this morning and every Sunday morning through the week God tries to speak. The second thing I probably did the most was I took notes. How many of you guys take notes? Very few. I'll pray for you. Joe, pray for you. Why take notes? Because it helps us to It helps us to remember. It helps us to recall. It helps us to go back and look over it again and be able to perhaps glean something different, something new, something extra from it. I took a ton of notes in Atlanta, and I've already looked over several of them, and I'm going to continue to look over them again and again. But I want to encourage you guys to take notes. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. If you want to pull out the Bibles out of your seat, or if you brought your Bible, that's even better. If you didn't bring your Bible, bring it next week. Learn to navigate through this thing. It's really good stuff. It's God's plan for our life. It's his direction for how we got to handle things and do things. And I think that's really what he wants us to do today is he wants us to take note. Paul starts off these verses by saying just that. And I don't know about you, but I was a terrible student in high school and college and all that. I barely survived. But one thing I can recall is when, whether it be the teacher, the professor, whoever would say, this is going to be on the test. Make note of this. Take notes here. I would do that because I was dumb, but I wasn't stupid. And Paul starts this off by saying, take note of this. And so I really think it's important that when somebody says that we do that because it's probably something important that we need to recognize or realize in that. Taking notes certainly helped me a lot. I think it'll help you a lot. I think taking notes is a great thing to do in church. And I think taking notes is a good thing to do. Taking notes and taking. Philippians 3:17 says that. Take note of them. It pays off for you and I to take note of certain people, of certain things in life. It's educational, right? It's helpful. It helps us in our Christian walk. Also, if you've been to, like, the mall or the airport, it's quite entertaining to take note of people. And I love seeing families go through the airport, you know, where dad's just kicked back and mom's dragging all the luggage, dragging the kids. You know, he's just having a good time. He's looking at the scores on SportsCenter or whatever on his phone. It's entertaining to watch. It's interesting. But Christians in the church are hopefully not entertaining and humorous. Hopefully they are helpful for us in our walk as we take note of what they're doing right. So that was God's plan all along, that we would look to one another and learn from one another, take the good from one another. Certainly none of us are going to be perfect. Paul says it this way to the church in Ephesus in chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. In other words, taking note. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In other words, take note of it. Have you taken note of what the Lord's will is? Take note of what is happening in this world around us. Be alert. The Bible tells us that. Be on guard. Be on watch. Don't be lazy. See, it's our responsibility to come here on Sunday. We try to do the best we can, and certainly there's a lot of work to be done, particularly with me. But when we come up here, whether it's Pastor Rick, whether it's Pastor Roger, Pastor Joe, myself, we try to do our best to give you something that we believe God has laid in our heart that's going to be helpful, it's going to be beneficial, it's going to hopefully answer a question for you, or it's going to solve a mystery for you, or it's going to help you get through something you're going through, or whatever it might be. But it's up to you guys to play your part as well. You have to come in here after a good night's sleep. You can't be closing down the bars at 3. You know, I mean, you can if you want to. But you're going to limit your ability to be able to glean what God has for you if you're not prepared to come and to listen and to take notes. Watch what the Lord's will might be. In our passage today, Paul suggests several things that we take note of, and I'm going to try to cover all of them. They're in an insert within your bulletin. But the first thing that he talks about is we need to take note of the right. We need to take note of the right. He says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, you and I, if we're in Christ. You're not in Christ. It doesn't pertain to you, but hopefully you'll be in Christ before you leave here today, and then it will pertain to you, so pay attention. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live. First thing Paul tells us to do is he tells us to join with others. I can't tell you the difference that this place makes in my life. Life stinks. It's brutal. But without the body of Christ, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without that in my life to be able to give me strength, to know that people are praying, to be able to join with other people and get through this thing, because I'm passing. I don't know about you, but to get through this thing, the best I can, I'm not just trying to slide by, the best I can, I need other people. We've talked about this before, but I don't know what it takes for us to grasp that the best thing that we can do, A, is be here collectively as a body, but B, we need to be in groups together, whether it's home groups, small groups, Bible study groups, Bo or Scott or someone else teaching, whatever it might be. We need the intimacy. We need the accountability. We need encouragement. That was always God's plan. It was never that we do it on our own. Yet so many of us live that way. And we're vulnerable. We're susceptible to the enemy, to distraction, to being misled, because we don't have that body of belief. We don't join with others to be able to help us, to be able to point out to us, hey, we might need to fix that. Hey, let's do this. Join with others. We need to do that. Join with one another. The second thing Paul tells us is we need to follow my example. Now, how many of you could really say that? Follow my example. Perhaps sometimes you'd want to say that, right? Or with your kids, it might be do as I say, not as I do. We should be able to tell our kids and tell our friends, follow my example. Now, Paul could say this because in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so it's kind of his off-the-hook thing. Lets him off the hook because he's saying, the things that I do that are Christ-like, the things that I do that honor Christ, the things that I do that he showed us and taught us, and do those things. And that's good. I think that we would want our kids, our family, our friends to imitate those things that we do that are Christ-like. But I don't think follow me or follow my example would probably always be the best thing for you and I to say. Can't speak for you. But I think we ought to be able to say that. Mark Twain once said that few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. I'm not saying I'm there. I got a long way to go. But I don't want to say that. I think that's what Paul is talking about here as he talks to this body of people, this group of believers. You've got to remember who he's talking to. Not just talking to lost people or people who don't understand. They're not Christians yet. He's talking to people who are. talking to people who ought to be able to say, follow my example. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, when he says that, just before he says that, he makes the comment in chapter 10, in chapter 10. The reason why he wants people to do this, to follow his example, as he follows the example of Christ, is because he's trying to be all things to all people so that they may. And that's our motive and agenda. It's not so that we can be an annoying good example. It's so that people can see us and it's a safe passage to follow us so that they can find the salvation you and I have. Right. That's our motive. That's our agenda. All of third thing that Paul talks about is we should take note. What our whole message is on today, but this is where he gets into the passage and says, we should take note of those who set a good example. I like the story of a Sunday morning in 1865, a black man. No, black. I have a black son. A black man entered a fashionable church in Richmond, Virginia. When communion was served, he walked down the aisle and knelt at the altar. A rustle of resentment swept through the congregation. How dare he? After all, believers in that church used the common cup. Suddenly, a distinguished member of the church stood up, stepped forward to the altar, and knelt beside this black man. And with Robert E. Lee setting the example, the rest of the congregation followed. And thank God we have people who are good examples. Take note of those. That's what Paul is saying. Take note of these people that do well. We need to look for that in each other because we all do at least have a little Christ-likeness in us, right? As we continue to grow, hopefully, and get better. We all have certain qualities and attributes we can learn. I want that habit in my life, then I'll be like that as well. My prayer is that God would allow us to be such a good example that people want to take note of what we follow after. We all have those examples around us. We've got to watch. Give thanks for those who are faithful and fruitful. And continue to watch for those people you can learn from. Paul said to take note of those living according to the pattern. What pattern? To the person not in the scriptures, to the person who hasn't been at this whole Christianity thing very long, for the person who's here who's never accepted the Lord, what pattern? The Lord's pattern, which is found in scripture. Now, many think it's the 615 laws in the Old Testament that you got to follow, but that certainly there's nothing wrong with that. You can read those. Raj talked about a few weeks ago. They can be a little tedious, you know, about different things. We're at a camp. Some interesting stuff back there. But we have to understand that it was all for a reason. It was all God protecting his people. Because of the times, they didn't have the same plumbing and different things. You get all that another day. But this pattern that he's talking about now, Paul is talking about to this church that he planted in Philippi, this live according to the pattern. We could narrow it down to a few verses. We could narrow it down to Matthew 22, 37 through 40, the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, all your strength. That's a good pattern, right? And to love your neighbor as yourself, that's a pretty good pattern. If we just follow that pattern, and that was the only one, that'd be pretty good. If we just follow Luke 6:31, and we just said, do unto others, that would be a pretty good pattern, wouldn't it? Imagine if we followed just the one another. You guys know the one another? Oh, there's lots of one another. Let me give you not an exhaustive list, but just a short list of the one another's. And think about how much different we would be. Think about the pattern that we might set, the safe path that we might lay for those that come after. How about we love one another? These are all in Scripture. Like I said, not an exhaustive list. But how about we love one another? How about we pray for one another? How about we encourage one another? How about we forgive one another? We greet one another? We comfort one another? How about we look to the interests of one another? Carry the burden? humble with one another. We'd be patient with one another. We'd be gentle with one another. We'd be kind to one another. With me? How are we doing? Got this pretty well taken care of. Be compassionate to one another. Submit to one another. Give thanks for one another. Don't lie to one another. Be gracious to one another. Be merciful to one another. What if we just set the pattern of living in agreement with one another? We should take note of the godly the Lord has placed around us in life, and we should learn from them. And there's a whole bunch of them right here. And I give thanks for that. And then there's many more out there, the Billy Grahams, the Max Lucados, there's lots of wonderful people to look at, we can learn from, glean stuff from. But we need to do that. We need to join with others. We need to follow the example of Christ. That's what Paul said he was trying to do in 1 Corinthians. As I follow the example of Christ, we need to do that so that then it's safe to follow our example. We need to take note of those around us who are doing it right, who are getting it done, and we need to live according to this pattern here. You can't say you don't know the pattern now. You can't say, well, I don't know what that pattern looks like. It could be the great commandment. It could be going to others. It could be one another. It could be all the above. And imagine what kind of world we live in if it was all the above. Think about it. So we talked about the good. Now we got to talk about the bad. This sets up the enemy side of things. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, you know, next week as we look at Palm Sunday and we kick off Holy Week, and I really hope all of you guys are here. I'll be looking at this passage here as Jesus came and he looked over all these people, and he was so heartbroken that they were lost, so heartbroken that they didn't understand what he was doing as he made his triumphal entry, you know, where they laid down the palm branches and shouted, Hosanna. Was so sad, though, that they were lost. And if it says the Bible, talk about that next. Interesting. Paul setting, following the example of Christ. Paul's not looking over the lost necessarily, though. Paul is looking back at his church in Philippi going, my heart is broken because you're living as enemies of the cross. What is that? What does that mean? What does that look like? He says to take note of the wrong in verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. These are the attributes, the characteristics of the will, as we take note. Wrong. Note of the right. And it's important. We got to take note of the right. We got to take note of the wrong. Why? So we can know what to do and what not to do. I mean, that's the whole idea of learning. Their destiny is their destruction. What does that mean? I'm not going to go into these ones in detail, whatever, too far. The bottom line is you've seen people and you know people and you say, man, their life is out of control. They've mismanaged it. It's on a crash course. It's about ready to train wreck. About ready to crash and burn, whatever it might be. You've seen those people. Whether it's their spending habits, whether it's their addictions, whether it's whatever, their destiny is destruction. And we need to take note of those people because we got to be careful because we can get on the same train as them. And then we'll crash and burn as well. So Paul is telling this us, he's telling them to pay attention for this. This is what the enemies of the cross of Christ look like. Their destiny is destruction. So as you think about your life, where's it headed? What's the destination look like? As you think about the people you surround yourself with, is there people you need to realize that perhaps you pitched your wagon to the wrong horse that it's going to wreck? Second thing that he talks about, is there God is their stomach? This is basically just saying it's all about the flesh. You might have heard it spoken of as carnality, living in a carnal state. What feels good, what I want to do, that's what you do. And you know people like that. It's all about them. They're very self-centered. They're very, you know, if it feels good, do it. If it sounds good, do it. If so-and-so's doing it, I'm doing it. It's not a godly measuring stick. It's just, you know, their God is their stomach. In other words, it's their flesh. That's what Their thing is it goes a step further than that, Paul says, in their glories and their shame. In other words, they glorify these behaviors and these actions that they're involved in. They don't just do them. They're not just caught up in them, but they actually glorify them. And you see people like that as well. They glorify all the stuff that they're involved in. Oh, bad, good, wrong, right. I said this before, but it's worth saying again. Right will never become wrong, no matter how few people are doing it, and wrong will never become right, no matter how many people are doing it. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And it's important that we take notes, and we take note of those around us who can, A, perhaps mislead us, guide us, also to take note of those who can help us grow in our Christian walk. And they're all around us, too. They're on TV, they're on radio, they're in the media, they're in the newspapers, they're in the movies. You've seen these. They're in politics. Well, maybe not in politics. They're all good in politics. But other than that, they're in all these other realms of life. These bad people. See, we think that, I like how C.S. Lewis put it, and I'm going to read it to you, because he's a lot more eloquent than me. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The greatest evil is not done in those sordid dens of crime that Dickens loved to paint. It is conceived and moved and seconded and carried and minuted in clean, carpeted, warm, well-lit office by quiet men, white collars, cut fingernails, and smooth shaven cheek." Do not. Right. Is it? You see, evil doesn't always come in the form or in the image of a Charles Manson. Certainly, that's a great form. There's a lot of people out there that you can put a picture of. A lot of times, what it comes to is the shape of good. It comes in the shape of those who hang around, those who are close to us. We've got to be careful about it. We've got to recognize it. We've got to be aware of it. Final thing Paul mentions here is their mind is on earthly things. That's how it's easy to tell these people who are wrong, these enemies across them. Because their mind is on earthly. What's in it for me? I don't care if I step on you to climb up to the next position at the facility I'm at or the plant that I work at or whatever. It's okay. That's the whole idea. That's their mind is on earthly things. It's okay that on April 15th I doctor. My mind's on earthly things. It's okay that I do this and don't do that because my mind. We say all of that, and then we come to what Paul talks about is our reason. See, we have the right, we have the wrong. Or I can say right and wrong, if you're the wrong, you're the wrong people. Right, wrong. We have the right and the wrong, and then we have the reason why it's important as believers. And even if you're a non-believer, why? He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything. What does everything mean? Everything under his control will transform our lowly body. They will be like him. You're an incredible pastor. Let's break it down real quick. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is the first thing that Paul wants us to grasp. See, we take a big, citizenship's a big deal for us here in America, isn't it? I mean, I hope you're happy to be a citizen in America. Pretty lucky, aren't we? Pretty lucky. We got a lot of rights, right? We have the right to bear arms for now. We have, you know, the right to vote. We have the right to remain silent, which you're hoping I'll do right about now. We have a lot of rights, and we love that. But you know what? We have some responsibilities, too, don't we? I'm talking about our country. I'm not talking about this again. we have some responsibility. We have to follow the laws, right? Or else we jail, they have these things called jail. We have to pay that April 15th thing I mentioned earlier briefly. We have to pay those taxes. I mean, those certain things that we have responsibility to do, whether we like it or not. Well, my contention here is if our citizenship is in heaven, and the thing about this world, let me get back to this for a second. People will get on boats, they'll go across deserts, they'll swim across rivers, they'll do all this stuff to gain this citizenship or to get into this country. And then the things we won't do to gain our citizenship makes one pause and consider. Anyway, our citizenship in heaven, we have rights. There as well. We have the right to call upon our God. He's always there. We have the right to communicate, pray with him 24/7. We have the right to look into his word that he left us. He was so gracious, thoughtful, giving us his word to be able to study. We have the Holy Spirit who can guide us and lead us. We can pray to and seek guidance and counsel, be able to help us on what steps to take. We have these rights. These wonderful things. You know what? I think also we have responsibilities. And I think we really like the rights, but we don't really like the responsibilities. And I think that's what Paul's getting at here. Paul is saying, you know, there's a good example, follow these guys, and then there's a bad example, these guys who are enemies of the cross of Christ. And I guess the question for you and I is, which citizenship are we living up to? Definitely take advantage of our rights here. Good about that. Semi-good at doing our responsibility. Then when it comes to heaven, love those rights. But then the responsibility that we have, that we talked about at the beginning, to be that good example, we drop the ball. Ponder that. The second thing that the reason, if you will, why it's important that we recognize the right and the wrong is because we eagerly await a Savior. Now, if I was going to come over to your house for dinner, which, by the way, none of you guys have invited me over in a while, and I'm kind of getting a complex, but if you were to invite me over for dinner, say, this Friday night, perhaps, because I don't have any plans, what would you do before I came there? Huh? Oh, you'd clean the house. Why? Yeah, you'd make all those proper preparations, right? I mean, you'd perhaps put this away, perhaps do something with that. And, you know, you'd clean up this. Of course you would. I'd do the same thing. Well, maybe not. My house is a disaster. Those of you that come there often, you know that my house is a disaster. But there's something we do to kind of prove that we're eagerly awaiting that guest. Sometimes you stand at the window or the door and you look out. I know it's that way for our daughter now when she comes back because it's like we don't get to see her very often. She's in Europe right now and back tomorrow. But when she's coming home, I mean, there's an anxiety. There's this eagerly waiting thing. You can see it. You can tell. Well, that's supposed to be our attitude with our Savior that's coming. And yet it seems like we're just all too consumed sometimes by all these other things that we're not remembering the reason. Paul is reminding them, this is the reason. Your citizenship is not here. You're passing through. You're waiting for this guy. Pastor Joe talked about who came and lived perfectly, died undeservedly, rose again tonight. That's what we're eagerly awaiting, and that's a pretty good thing. So there should be a little bit of preparation being made. If you're going to clean the house for me before I come, Friday, remember, I got no plans. I think there's some preparation that needs to be done in the house before that guy comes? No? Third thing. Third reason. He's in control. It actually says it this way. Our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his. A lot you can add to that. plus you don't understand what everything is. Trouble with your teenager, trouble with your marriage, trouble with your finances, trouble with addiction, trouble with this, trouble with that. He brings everything. Difficulties that we face are him. That's what he talks about in his last one. He will transform us. He says we'll transform our lowly body so that they will be like his glorious body. Many are sick. Some of you are sick. You got cancer, you got MS, you got arthritis, you got diabetes. We have all these sicknesses in our world, don't we? And a lot of them are here. There's a reason why our prayer list is so long. It's not just because we have a lot of sick people, it's because we believe in the power of prayer. We believe that God is in fact in control and is in fact capable of. Now it might be that he doesn't want to heal our earthly body here. He might just want to heal. He might want to transform us then. There's a lot of sick people there. A lot of people struggling with cancer and other disabilities. Hard times. Those aren't gonna last. That's the reason why we the right, the wrong, that's the reason why we chase after the right, because it's not going to last. Don't get caught up in that which is temporary and miss that which is eternal. Many are tired. I'm tired. I'm tired from jet lag. I'm tired from tired. God, who will heal our strength, allow us to go. Many of us have aches and pains. He's going to transform our lowly body, all these things, whatever you might struggle with. He's going to transform it into his glorious body. That's the reason. We need to take note of the right so that we can follow that example. We need to take note of the wrong so that we don't do it. We can avoid those types of things. And we need to take note of the reason. By the power that enables him to bring everything will, not might, will transform our lowly body so that they will be like. Take note of that. Father God, Lord, I thank you for the godly examples in my life. I thank you for those people that given me. They are priceless, Father. They are immeasurable. You know what they mean to me, to put a value on them. Father, for those who don't have that, God, I just pray, Lord, that you allow them to see the need to join with others, be able to be accountable, be able to be encouraged, to be able to learn what example, be able to follow that pattern that you outlined for us in Scriptures, whether it's the Luke one to do unto others, whether it's the Matthew one to love the Lord our God and love each other. Whether it's these one another, serves a ton of one another. Even if we lived out half to one another, we would be a great example for others. Father, help us to recognize the wrong, but we don't want to dwell on that. Just help us to recognize those who are not doing well, that we might not get caught up in that, but we might discern and see that evil and be able to pray for them and help them, but not become part of that. And it's all because of the reason, Father. All because of the reason. We eagerly await our Savior Jesus Christ. Our citizenship, our rights and responsibilities lie there. God, help us to live out of that great promise that you will bring everything under your control. And that whatever we're going through here, it's just temporary. That you will transform our lowly bodies into your glorious body. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't have that citizenship in heaven, they can have it today. They don't got to swim across a river. They don't got to walk across a desert. They don't got to get on a boat. Father, they have to confess with their mouth that your Son, Jesus Christ, is their Lord. And they have to believe in their heart that he came to live and die and save them. And they have that citizenship. And they gain those rights. But then they have those responsibilities. For those of us that already have that, Father, help us.